God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm, and dangled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 66 responsibly. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Be joyful, all the earth. Sing the glory of God's name. Sing the glory of God's praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down before you. Sings out your name. Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people. God turned the sea into dry land so that they went through the water on foot, and there we rejoice in God. Ruling forever in might, God keeps watch over the nations. Let no rebels exalt themselves. Bless our God, you peoples. This God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading from Galatians. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap what you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the earth has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace to this house." If there is anyone, if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you." Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, if I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, I don't think Jesus would make a very good volunteer coordinator. I can just see it now. It's before church. We've got the people lined up here under the windows, waiting to make their announcements. Jesus has taken his spot, waiting his turn. Betty gets up and makes an encouragement for everyone people to sign up for coffee hour. And she tells you how easy it is, how she'll have everything all set. All you have to do is just come, bring a few snacks. She'll make sure that everything is there. All you have to do is serve coffee and be hospitable. Diane makes an announcement reminding people to bring their extra groceries for the Lutheran Social Service food pantry. And there's even a list in the bulletin that tells you exactly what you can bring if you can't have an imagination about groceries that poor folks would need. And then Solveig encourages us to be involved and reminds us about Vacation Bible School that's this coming week. And then Jesus steps up and he says, "Good morning, everyone." And you all say, "Good morning, Jesus." And he says, "I have one more announcement. I need 70 volunteers for a project that I have for this week. It's a great chance for you to go out into unfamiliar neighborhoods and dangerous places and invite yourself to go out into the midst of wolves, ravenous wolves. And don't take anything that would help make your trip and this project easier or more comfortable for you. So would you raise your hands, whoever wants to go? Who wants to be sent out as a lamb among the wolves? I have a sign-up sheet right here. Any of those other announcement makers would look at Jesus and say, "That's not the way to get people to sign up. No one's going to sign up for your service project. You have to go easy. You have to tell people that it's not going to inconvenience them in one little bit. It's not going to be hard. You don't have to have any special skills. You just have to, well, you have to be strong if you want to work for Solveig. But if you want a successful program, you have to get people to come. And they're not going to come unless it's easy, unless it's fun, unless it's convenient." Well, Jesus isn't really too concerned about volunteers. He's not asking for volunteers. Did you notice the first line? It says that Jesus appoints 70 and sends them out. He didn't ask for people to volunteer. And this is Jesus, after all. But still, I'm sending you like lambs out among the wolves. This is dangerous territory, the world. And he's sending them out completely unprepared and unable to fend for themselves. Never mind the wolves, but he was told them, don't take any money. Well, where are they supposed to get food? What about a place to stay the night? You're not supposed to take a bag. What about an extra shirt or a jacket in case they get cold or wet or just dirty from the road travel? Didn't Jesus realize that those are ordinary necessities? And he says, don't take necessities. That really goes against the grain, doesn't it? Self-sufficiency is one of the fundamental values of our culture. We pride ourselves on being self-sufficient. The first thing a little child learns and wants to do, I can do it by myself. And we applaud that. But Jesus doesn't. We don't like to ask for help. We don't want to depend on anyone. Sometimes it takes something serious, like a broken foot. Doris can probably give us several examples over the past few weeks. Sometimes we need to be have that kind of experience of an illness or an accident to learn ways of dependence. And the truth is, Jesus isn't interested in our self-sufficiency. He doesn't send out the disciples alone, like a vision quest, or like to test your mettle in a wilderness experience. He sends them out in teams with a reminder that we too are to travel the world together. We need one another. We are part of the family of God. We're in this together. When we are baptized, we say we are baptized into the family of God. We become one of God's children. The family, the image is very clear in that. And that we are Christians. It doesn't say that I am a Christian. It says we are a Christian. Jesus sent out those teams, 35 teams, without anything that would give them the sense of self-sufficiency. They are to be utterly dependent on one another and on the people to whom they are sent. Now, some of the people are going to be hospitable and welcoming to them, and some others, not so much. In fact, some people will be downright hostile to them. Jesus tells those teams going out and tells us as well, you're not in control of the outcome. Some of the people you visit, some of the people you come in contact in life will not share the peace that you offer. Sometimes whole towns, he says to these traveling disciples, sometimes whole towns that you visit will reject you. But that's not the point. Jesus is most concerned about ensuring that as many people as possible hear the good news that God's kingdom has come near. And that's the point, that God's kingdom has come near. That's Jesus' definition of a successful mission, that people hear that word. Because you never really know who's going to respond and who is not, who's really open to the gospel in all its beauty and complexity and grace and living more faithfully. You never know who is desperate to hear the good news. You have to go out to them because they're not coming to us. You have to go out because our word of grace and faith can't be seen or heard unless we go out. I think some of the problem in the contemporary church is that too often we evaluate success by how many people attend worship, or how often visitors return, or how big the budget is. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, and we, the laborers, have to believe that. Jesus is sending us out with good news to share and a team to go with us to share that good news. The good news that the kingdom has come near. In baptism, our names are written in heaven. In baptism, we have been appointed and we have been sent to bring that good news to others. Let me tell you about an opportunity. This is a magazine that comes from our churchwide office. It's called Seeds for the Parish. I want to read just a paragraph of this. On September 8th, the ELCA will celebrate God's Work, Our Hands Sunday, an opportunity for service work and making a positive difference, using our hands to do God's work of restoring and reconciling communities in Jesus Christ's name throughout the world. Imagine 4 million people from nearly 10,000 congregations out in their communities, serving meals, cleaning up neighborhoods, visiting with the homebound, collecting supplies for those experiencing homelessness, poverty, or conflict, all in their bright yellow God's Work, Our Hands t-shirts. You work every day to love your neighbors and make your community a better place. Now, let's do it together. ELCA members and congregations have always been active participants in God's work in the world. We already serve our communities and our neighbors, and we've done so for the life of this church, 25 years. So why dedicate a special day of service? God's Work, Our Hands Sunday is a great opportunity to join together on our 25th anniversary year to give witness that in Christ, we are free to serve our neighbors, says ELCA Presiding Bishop Mark Hansen. This is who we are, a church that rolls up our sleeves and gets to work. Something special happens when we come together. Think of the ELCA youth gatherings where 30,000 young people blanket the cities they visit to fix up homes, read to children, hand out school supplies, or advocate for and educate others about the issues that impact our lives. Only now, instead of just one place, we will impact communities across the country. On September 8th, that's a Sunday, on September 8th, we urge you to join with other partners, social ministry organizations, campus ministries, ecumenical partners, to serve your neighbor as you have already been doing throughout the year. Hansen continues, doing God's work through our hands is a marvelous expression of gratitude for God's grace in Christ. We at St. Peter's are going to participate in this, God's Work, Our Hands Sunday. I've got a box in my car right now with 30-some T-shirts that say, God's Work, Our Hands. We'll all put on these T-shirts that Sunday morning and go out and do God's work. There's going to be sign-up sheets available for you to figure out what you might want to do that day. We want to have 100% participation. Everybody doing something, from staying in the church an extra 15 minutes to pray for those people that are going out. Maybe you want to go to Mexico and work in an orphanage. Maybe you want to do some quilting with another congregation. Maybe you want to do some planting. Maybe you want to help clean up an alleyway or a beach shore. there will be lots of things for us to do, from old to young, from people who are less able to carry tables from the Sunday school room down the stairs to people who can stay in their own home praying for the congregation, or writing a letter to a serviceman, or making a visit to someone who is homebound. There will be opportunities for everyone. And if you have some ideas of some things that you would like to do on that Sunday with your community, talk to people on the evangelism committee or talk to me, and we can get those as opportunities to sign up. God's work, our hands, an opportunity to be the church at work in the world, as we are every single day. God's work, our hands, in his service. Amen.